For NPR Music, I'm Rodney Carmichael, and Rainbow. You're listening to the sounds of Reggie Snow.
Rainbow.
My religion was to be black like Mike and like Liquor Rush. I'm a star, I'm a king, I'm a champion to those. Black face, black taste, and I got black hoes.
So Reggie is a rapper from Dublin, Ireland, of all places. And his new album is out. Well, it came out last week, and it's called Dear Annie. And Sydney Madden, also of NPR Music, and I got to talk to him about his love of artsy rap, jazz, the language of cinema, and how he works it all into his music. We dug into a lot of songs from Dear Annie, and we started out with this track, Rainbows.
I want to pull out a couple verses from the song, if I can.
Yeah, Robbie. Yeah, let's do that.
Cold sweats in my religion was to be black like Mike and Licorice. I'm a star, I'm a king, I'm champion to those black face, black taste. There's a great sense of black pride and appreciation within a lot of this music, which I really love. And I just want to go back to a little bit your upbringing, if you will. How did you find hip-hop being a young black kid growing up in Dublin?
Yeah, I think I always kind of like struggled with my identity. I didn't know which kind of role to play growing up, because I was always like the black kid to everybody, and then I was always trying to, you know, just be this Irish kid, which I am, and I was super confused, I guess. But I don't know, as I've gotten older, I've kind of realized who I am and my DNA and my roots, and I just have this super proudness now, and I'm fearless with what I do now, that, you know, being my skin color and what comes with that and stuff. And I feel now you can kind of hear that in my music a lot, and that's a good thing because it just shows growth within myself. So,
what helped you get to this point of pride and fearlessness?
Yeah, it definitely took a while, and I guess it came with traveling and just, you know, going on tour and meeting other people and going to different cities and just seeing the world.
Nice.
Kind of opens up your mind a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready to hear some more music.
What's the next song we should play, Rodney?
I'm thinking we should listen to 23.
I'm at home smoking weed all day, scratch marks on my Escalade, and you gotta be the antidote. I tattooed you right on my brain.
Then why you wanna watch me drown? Mm-hmm. Act up when I come around. Mm-hmm. Flex up when we're making out. Tell me how I just run you down.
Those lips that I kissed today, mm-hmm, made up it in a foreign way. Stretch marks in my favorite place. I hate love, but in a crazy way.
Boy, you ain't gonna lay me down. Mm-hmm. Creased up in a paper crown. Mm-hmm. Pieced up at your parents' house. All day, all day.
Why you gotta say mean things about me? Why you gotta say mean things about me? Why you gotta say mean things about me? Why you gotta say mean things about me?
You know, Reggie, I like something that you said in your Fader interview last year about hip-hop being kind of corny.
Yeah.
Talk about why you gravitated more toward artsy rap and what that disconnect was for you in terms of a lot of the mainstream stuff.
Yeah, I think I've just never really gravitated towards the stereotypes with hip-hop and the perceptions and what comes with rapping, and I've just always been more into like the geeky kind of stuff and people like MF Doom and the samples he uses that were jazz samples and stuff. And for me, I've always been more into like jazz and stuff like that, because that's kind of the first music that I heard growing up, I feel, and it's the one that inspired me the most.
Let's go back to the song we were just listening to for a sec, because
23.
It feels like, which I'll say that for a lot of songs on this album, I feel like they could be about a girl, or they could be about a relationship, or they could just be about you expressing your newfound perspective to the world at large.
Yeah, I guess that song, I tried to capture like a world, like me and my girl just being super like young, in love and vulnerable, the mistakes and the highs and the lows. And that's one of the oldest songs in the record too, and I made that one in LA. And yeah, I just really tried to take it to a place that just feels like a movie scene, and you get this straight visual and you're just totally immersed in it. And I don't know, it's hard to do that sometimes, but I feel with that song, you just immediately get thrown in there and it's super cool.
Is cinema a big influence, or were you really going for a cinematic type of feel with this album?
Yeah, I think so. I think I really tried to make it like a movie. I don't know, I guess I'm really inspired by movies, and I studied film in college, so that's something that's a passion of mine. And I always try to mix both worlds, so like the music and like film ideas and like visual side. And I think if you marry those two worlds, it can just make the music so much better. And I think when you make an album, that should be what it, you know, it is, like an experience and something that can like obviously be enjoyed as well through music, but also like visually as well.
Well, maybe this is a good time to talk about the title of the album and the theme that we hear coursing through it in different ways. It's a relationship theme project in some ways. How much of that is real? How much of that is imagined? And what can you tell us about the state of your love life, bro?
It's secured. I'm
just living it in, really?
Yeah. I'm cuffed or whatever they say.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess with the album, I tried to like really create like a theatrical world with real stories and like real experiences and like past endeavors, and I guess just like my life. So I guess the name Dear Annie, Annie doesn't really mean too much to me. I just have this kind of like thing with like old names, and that's the name that like for me was most visually aesthetically pleasing and just sounded cool, so I just ran with that. And as I was making the music, it just really became this world that I kind of planned but kind of just took its own kind of course by itself, and that was really cool.
Now, we were just having a running joke conversation in the studio before.
We were hypothesizing.
Yeah. About the title. And Annie. And apparently, yeah. Robin, who is kindly sitting in and producing this episode for us, he was talking about the Annie dummies back in the day that you would practice CPR on.
Resuscitation.
Yeah. And they were called Annie. And then we started talking about Michael Jackson's line, Annie, are you okay? And the fact that if you Google on the internet somewhere, it says that he might have potentially gotten that line from that, because that's the line that you would say to the CPR dummy as you checked for her.
Oh, right.
So anyway, you haven't been taking any CPR classes or anything.
No. That's interesting. But growing up as a kid, I was afraid of the Annie doll. Just the image just scared me. So I don't know if that has some kind of relation to everything that's going on now, but... Yeah, even with the cover, the girl's got ginger hair, and again, just this imagery, and there's all these representations.
Well, see, at first, there wasn't the cover supposed to be still ginger, but an afro, a curly afro, instead of the redheaded girl that we see in the field on the cover now.
Yeah, there's all these cover ideas I had just involved budgets, and with the image that came, it's got a funny story. I guess Racky, the producer that I worked with on the album, that's a picture of one of his friends, and he just sent it to me, and he was just like, this photo's sick, and yeah, just because of how it looks, and I just think it made sense, and we just ran with it.
How does this reflect this imagery and some of these thoughts, and you talking about being scared of the Annie doll when you were little, does this in any way reflect how you, in some ways, might relate to women in your life?
Every relationship I've been in has been like nothing like negatives came from after. It's never been like super toxic or nothing. So in terms of love, it's always been super nice and chill. And the kind of Annie idea was always for like her to represent some kind of evil and Lucifer and trauma and like pain and stuff. So it's like throughout the album, there's all these different feelings and like moods in which Annie represents.
Let's go into the title track. I think this is a perfect segue.
No, I got to go, stack that do, on the low, I need no, I got to go, stack that do, on the low, oh, I need, I need, you are not alone, no, I can't.
always on fraud, fraud, frauds. Roll up when I smoke, smoke, smoke. She was bad, but broke, broke, broke. I want all the drugs in the world to cure my sickness. What's up, girl? Pain and pills all in my cup. We make love and then we, I got keys inside my whip. Pastor, pastor, she's my bitch. We write song and then we dip. All these hoes, they play my chips.
We were just talking about how much we love this song because it's unexpected. When the first beat comes in, you think the bass is gonna drop a lot later, and then all of a sudden it just like hits you, and Jesse Boykin's vocals just take over. And this is partially credited to your producer, Rocky. Rocky, right, Reggie?
Yeah, Rocky, yeah.
Talk to me about how you guys worked out this beat.
Yeah, so with this track, Rocky, from the get-go, he tried to get me out of my comfort zone and, like, rap a little bit faster. So when he first made the beat, I was kind of, like, a little bit scared of it because it just... To, like, rap at that pace was kind of... I wasn't really into it, but I got more into it and it just kind of, like, flowed, like, organically, and the song just became the song. Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs on the record. And
what are some other ways he pushed you out of your comfort zone?
Just through a conversation, just like him getting to know me and like my story, it was super fascinating to him. So I feel like the more he got to know me, he was able to tell me things and I wouldn't think, you know, like, oh, like what's this about, or like take it any kind of way.
What do you think it was about your story that fascinated Rocky?
Just everything, just me being from Dublin, being into the things I'm into. And again, I just feel for like when I come to America and even when I went to school here, I was just something new and people, you know, hadn't seen somebody like me before, and my story fascinated them. So I guess it just, you know, creates for a different kind of energy. And I guess, you know, in the studio, that's good. And I feel when you share experiences with people, it just makes for better music.
Do you think that not necessarily having a big hip-hop scene in Dublin kind of gave you the freedom to be yourself and create your own style? Because even Sydney and I were talking the other day about the fact that on this side, we're starting to get used to hearing artists, especially like from the UK and, you know, just overseas more, you know. But there's usually still a sound or a style associated with the region, right? Like you got the grime style coming out of the UK and England.
And sometimes when it gets over here, it's like a diluted version of it at that point, because it's you know, there's a whole scene to immerse yourself in, but then to really break out, it seems some of the artists have to conform to something that, okay, this is what people think grime is, this is what people think hip-hop is from the UK, you know?
Whereas you seem like you're unbound, totally unbound to any kind of restrictions. Or
I just think I had a different outlook in growing up where I grew up, because, you know, like, as you said, like, I grew up listening to techno music, and with making hip-hop, I've got a different perspective and experience. And at the same time, it's funny because where I'm from, we're like the biggest hip-hop fans. And when I first started to making music, I was just trying to be super like American, and nothing about that was like myself, or like you couldn't see any kind of Irish things in that. But I guess as I kind of got more into it, you can kind of see a bit more of just that kind of Dublin swag and style. And
in terms of you know, mainstream rap and a lot of the narrow confines in which it often presents itself, I'm curious about you being on the label 300. I know you started out on Honeymoon, which is like a subsidiary of 300. In the rap world, when we think of 300, we think of Migos, who, you know, was originally on 300. We think of Young Thug, Fetty Wap, you know, we think of all of this big rap, trappy. But was it strange at all for you? And I know that's not all that 300 represents, but was it strange at all for you to find yourself in the mix and having label mates like that?
Of course it's strange, and it's weird that that's the other people that I'm on the roster with, because, you know, the kind of music they make is so different in it. But yeah, I feel like with them things, it's good because it kind of opens up the idea for collaboration. Even with Egyptian Lover, like Young Thug was supposed to be on that, and that kind of thing is what kind of makes it cool, the fact that I'm on a label like 300.
You mentioned the song Egyptian Lover, which is actually what I would like to play next and discuss. But before we do that, can you talk to me about how Thugger was almost on Egyptian Lover?
Yeah, so I guess he's on the same label. So there was always a point where I was hoping to get the, you know, opportunity to collab with him. And it was going to happen, but it just didn't work out. And yeah, he's one of my favorite artists, like Young Thug. I think he's kind of the way his voice, like he uses it as an instrument, I kind of feel that's like kind of the thing I'm trying to do as well, just because I can't play any instruments per se, but I try to like let my voice do that kind of thing. And yeah, he's somebody I look up to. But Egyptian Lover is I think the song, the record that completes it.
sorrow like there's no tomorrow, cause tonight might be your last. So stay up till sunrise. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Leave it in the past. The past, the past, the past, the past. Leave it in the past. The past, the past, the past, the past.
Breakdancing boogie, my love. This is 1971. I crave that brain and that flesh. Cups of tea and gums that bleed red. Say you wrap the plastic in white. Say you single all of my life. Blackest skin disfigure my crimes. Credit cards and losing my mind. Piece by piece they stitch me. Ain't no love, I'm still banging out Whitney. I can't cry for those who ain't with me. I can't praise the Lord, please forgive me.
Reggie, how did you link up with Amine for this track?
I wasn't really too hip to Amine's music before the last like 2 months or so, and the idea to get him on the track came from the label, and I was a bit skeptical initially. I didn't know if it made sense, but when I heard the verse, it was just magic, and I'm super grateful for him for doing that.
Well, if we could just play Room 27 real fast. That song was so interesting to me. I just wanted to...
I was going to say the same thing. I was okay. Like, oh, we have more time for one more. Let's do Room 27.
Always on my own, like, jump to the ledge, like, jump into the sky, like, I might do it, like, my funeral with 27 people, like, always on my own, I'm like, jump into the sky, like, I'm like,
so Reggie, you know, first I gotta ask you right off the bat, how old are you? Because I got worried after listening to this song.
24.
Okay.
So,
well, tell me about this song. I mean, was this totally inspired by the 27 Club or what? Because, and it was real subtle the way you did it. It wasn't like an overt reference, but I had to listen to it a few times before I started kind of picking up on that theme.
Yeah, for sure. I guess this song, I kind of wrote like a short film like a year ago. Kind of read it recently, like a couple months ago, and it was kind of dealing with like the kind of isolation you feel as a musician and the loneliness and the feels. And this song was, yeah, to represent that place that you go to. And I feel like recently, or I can kind of like just feel these different weird things to do with mortality, and that's where this song came from.
Well, man, this has been really dope to get to talk to you. We could keep going, but people, they can dig into you some more. It's 20 tracks on the album. It's a very dope album, very refreshing, and I think you'll definitely be setting, you know how hip-hop is, the first person out of a region tends to set the trend and become definitive in terms of how we associate the sound coming from that spot. So I think this is definitely a good look for Dublin, man.
And also the outliers. The outliers set the trends, and you can tell Reggie's not doing something that he thinks is gonna pop, or exactly. You know, he's doing something organic to himself, and that's refreshing.
Yeah, thank you guys. Really appreciate that. It's really good to speak to you guys too. Thank you.
All right, take care, bro.
Take care. Bye.
All right, that was Reggie Snow. If you're looking him up online, it's R-E-J-J-I-E-S-N-O-W. And that was him talking about his debut album, Dear Annie, out now. For NPR Music, I'm Sydney Madden.
And I'm Rodney Carmichael.
27.